Four young women set out from Seagull Lake on May 29th to canoe to Hudson Bay. They called their trip Journey for Renewal, and they're back to tell us how it went. Welcome and congratulations. Welcome back, Tessa Larson and Steph Branchard. You're on the Roadhouse.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I know when you were back in May, we had just been trained to like introduce who was talking. You gals did a great job with that back then. You said, this is Tessa and this is Steph. And if you don't mind doing that to keep our listeners at home cued in on who's talking when. I appreciate that. And of course, huge congratulations. Huge trip. 66 days.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow. And where did you finally land?
So this is Tessa, and we ended up landing at York Factory, which is right at the mouth of Hudson Bay, which is an old place where they used to bring all of the goods for the fur trade. Very, very remote to this day. Usually there's only a couple people there, but we were actually there, and there was a gathering of the First Nations people whose ancestors lived there. So we were actually greeted by people whose ancestors lived there as we paddled into shore.
Did that happen to coincide with your arrival, or was it a planned gathering for you?
It was not planned for us. It was just chance, and a wonderful chance at that. So we were able to camp with them and hear some of their stories and what their lives were like and their ancestors' lives were like.
Well, I would expect you had a lot of that of those encounters along the way. You know, part of this trip, you were going to be very deliberate and at one with the landscape and with the locals. And give us an update on all the fun folks you saw along the way.
Yeah, this is Steph, and we met so many wonderful people along the way. And we were able to experience so much hospitality from people, especially it started kind of along the Rainy River, where our only option was to camp in people's backyards. So we would just have to pull up to people's docks and walk around, knock on their door and ask if we could pop our tent up. And it sounds like a strange thing. And surprisingly, people were just very welcoming and didn't seem to think it was strange at all. Just let us camp in their backyard.
So that wasn't exactly planned? That wasn't on the itinerary? Because you had sort of planned out your stops, if I'm not mistaken. Like you had caches and connections and...
Yeah, this is Tessa. And yeah, we had places where we were rationing food, but along the Rainy River, it's all private property. So there's just really no other option for camping along that entire river. So we knew that that was going to be the case and that we'd have to stay with people either in cities or otherwise. But you kind of never know until you get there what it's going to be like and who's going to be home and able to help you out. And we were just, I think that was probably my favorite part of the trip was all the people we encountered and just, yeah, the generosity of spirit and people opening their homes to us at a moment's notice.
Well, I'm sure it was an exceptional sight for them on a otherwise normal afternoon. Here's these four gals and a dog.
Yeah.
And you got to tell your tale, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, was there any like extra special folks that have done similar adventure that you were really with a kinship, you know, as far as fellow travelers? Did you come across any of that?
This is Steph, and we actually didn't see any people on canoe trips from the Boundary Waters until our very last night camping. So we pulled up to our campsite on the last night, and we saw some people across the river, and it was the most strange thing we had ever seen because we hadn't seen any people for so long. And a little bit into us setting up camp, another canoe pulled up and came over, and we talked to them, and they had done a little bit shorter trip, but were finishing the same place as us at York Factory, and so and actually took the same train to travel back with us, so we got to know them pretty well. And they do all sorts of canoe trips in Manitoba, but theirs wasn't quite as long as ours, just a couple weeks. But yeah, it was very strange for us to see those other canoers after not seeing them for so long.
Yeah, I bet. Culture shock?
Definitely.
And you guys are just back, as I understand. You came back on the 2nd, was it? Just in time for the picnic?
Well, this is Tessa. Actually, we just arrived at York Factory on the 2nd. So
oh, I see.
Then it took us exactly a week to get back all the way. We had to take a float plane, a train for a day and a half. And then we were in Winnipeg for a little while and then drove back from Winnipeg and then had to also then drive up the trail to get back to Wilderness. So it took us about a week to travel back. So we've actually only been back since Tuesday.
Yes. And your blog is just now updated today, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of back in civilization and back online and back on the air here. We appreciate the update. I'm sure all your friends and family were following you, though, closely. It sounds like you had a tracker, like a spot tracker, or what was the, you know, how do the families do? How did everybody worry?
This is Tessa, and I think our family's worried probably more than they let on to us, but I think we had an inReach that helped us keep track of where we were, and so we were able to send our location every day, and so I think that helped kind of keep people's mind at ease, and it was, I think, really rewarding for us because we were able to connect with other people through text messages, and then they sent us letters at different points where we got re-rations. We were able to get, at one re-ration, we got a whole stack of letters from people at camp that were working there, so we got updates at Wilderness Canoe Base of what was happening there over the summer, which was really rewarding for us because that was the big reason why we were doing the trip, was to raise money for Wilderness, and so to stay connected to them of what their summer was like canoeing in a very different area was really fun for us. And I think a lot of letters of encouragement that I think kept us going during the really hard days of paddling.
Oh, there were hard days?
Just a few.
What made it extra hard? Describe a hard day.
This is Steph, and I think one of the hardest days for us collectively as a group was shortly into our last big section of the trip. We had just come off of Lake Winnipeg, which was a challenge in itself, but one of the rivers that we're on was the Ekamamish, and Ekamamish actually means river that flows both ways. And our second day on this river, we realized that the current was against us, which we didn't think was going to happen, but the current was against us and the wind was against us, and it was a very difficult day. We thought we were just going to be floating on rivers down the rest of the way.
No headway, right?
Just yeah, it was tough.
Get tired.
And then, but then the next day we're on the same river and we look down at the weeds underneath and realize that the current was with us now. And we don't know when it changed directions, but it definitely did.
Wow.
So it was a little easier going after that.
That's mystifying. What caused that phenomenon? Did you talk to any of the locals?
We talked to some people about it. They didn't know why it happened.
Wow. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of neat. I appreciate that, especially with water and river and flow. So any other outstanding difficulties, any injuries? Let's hope not.
Not really.
Not really.
Very minor things.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we barely used our first aid kit at all, yeah, which was amazing.
Just a few Band-Aids.
How about fitness? Everybody stay fit enough and fed and got some sore muscles at the start of the trip? Or you guys were all like guide background, like cross-training?
The first few weeks were pretty hard. This is Tessa. But our muscles were pretty sore. And then I think one of the things that continued to make our muscles sore as opposed to a regular summer guiding is that we didn't plan for any rest days. And so in order for us to rest, we had to paddle ahead. And so whereas otherwise you take out a 5-day trip and you have a day and a half off or something like that. And so you get to rest. And so I think that was tiring. And also one of our biggest accomplishments was Lake Winnipeg. It's a huge lake. And so we were really proud when we did that. And there were just a lot of the own challenges of that lake. But we got up almost every morning on that lake at 3:30 in the morning. And so that we could beat all of the wind that would pick up throughout the afternoon. And so we just basically adjusted our clocks about 4 hours ahead of time and went to bed around 7. But basically paddled as long and as hard as we could and actually finished it in 11 full paddling days.
Wow, that is a big lake.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm Dave Terstig, and we are talking with Tessa Larson and Steph Branchard, and they are a duo that teamed up with two more gals to make a journey for renewal. Journey for the number 4, renewal. And the four gals, Tessa Larson, Steph Branchard, Chelsea Fromke, and Whitney Vogel, all paddled from our very own Seagull Lake here in Cook County to Hudson Bay. And it took 66 days.
Mm-hmm.
You had two canoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And a dog. So let's talk about the dog, of course, Tessa. That was your idea?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my idea. And I think it paid off.
Okay.
She was, kind of the hit of the group. Everybody really enjoyed her presence. She has quite the personality, a lot of fun, very playful. So kind of kept us busy and light on our feet when we were on land. And when we were in the canoe, she was pretty chill. She eventually started to lay over the packs as we were paddling and just lounge around, and but was a lot of fun along the way.
Hmm. Didn't get a chance to dog paddle. I mean, was it, like water dog, like to swim a lot?
Oh yeah, she loved to swim. So we would often let her out of the canoe before we would get to land so she could get a little exercise in without, keeping us behind a little bit, because we were definitely going really far.
Scope it out. She didn't scare the fish away.
No, she did not.
What about food? Did you fish? Did you hunt? Did you pick berries?
Oh, this is Steph, and we did bring a fishing pole. We fished sometimes.
It doesn't sound like you caught.
We caught 3 fish total, and we ate them all, and they were delicious. But it definitely wasn't a priority for us. We didn't plan to supplement any of our meals with fish. It was just kind of a bonus if we ever caught them. And we, on Lake Winnipeg, we were working so hard that we never, every time we got to camp, we just were so tired, we were going to bed. And so kind of after that was where we were reinvigorated to try fishing again. And that was where we had some success and were able to try filleting and cooking them up, and it was kind of a new adventure for all of us. None of us knew how to do it beforehand. We just kind of figured it out as we went along, and it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
And we were fairly successful.
So obviously you guys must have had this deep bond at some point before the trip. How has that bond deepened now that you've been together on this epic adventure?
Yeah, this is Tessa, and yeah, that bond was there beforehand. I think a lot having to do with working at Wilderness and having that same training and just knowing the kind of character of people that are a part of that community. So I knew from that connection that I could trust these women that I was going out with. But having all these experiences, both trying and invigorating fun experiences, really, I think, gained a deeper level of connection. And it was just truly amazing to think about, some of the trying things that we went through and imagining, I couldn't even imagine going through it with anybody else at that point. We had just been traveling together for so long and understood how we worked together and what jobs we did and what strengths we had and how we could fill in for each other and support each other. And especially as towards the end of the trip, we did a lot more rapids. And so we gained our knowledge of rapids as we continued on and more difficult rapids. And it was just hard to imagine doing that with anyone else because we just built our skills and learning how much we did. It was just truly amazing how much we relied on each other and worked together as a team.
Did you seem to impress yourselves? Did you think you had it in you? Was there a moment of doubt?
This is Steph, and I don't know. I guess there's always a little bit of doubt. I think we always thought that we would make it, but we knew that it wasn't a guaranteed thing. Anything could have happened along the way that could have ended the trip. And so it was pretty incredible to paddle in at the end of that last day and see the big white building in the York Factory. And we couldn't believe that we had actually made it. We just pulled up on the beach and gave each other huge hugs, and it was a pretty incredible feeling.
Yeah, bet. Triumph. Well, this was a fundraiser for Wilderness Canoe Base, so it was business and pleasure. Mm-hmm. How'd that go? How's the business?
The business is going awesome. This is Tessa, and we were trying to keep track along the way. Whenever we could, we would check our website and see how much we had raised. And we had started off around $20,000 or
when
so.
When we left, yeah.
When we left. And so we were like, okay, we're almost halfway there because our goal is $50,000. And yeah, they slowly creeped up, I think, because we kept in touch with online. And also people started learning more and more about our trip. And so we're actually at $40,000 so far. So very close to our goal. And all of that is being matched up to $50,000 in addition.
Wow.
So we're doing kind of a final push. And sharing our story about everything that we've done. And thanks to Wilderness Canoe Base that it was possible. And their 60th anniversary is coming up this next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. So we're going to share stories there with a lot of the community of Wilderness and hopefully get that last push in before that comes about.
Oh, I'm sure you now have the momentum mm-hmm. now that you've returned and the excitement's in the air and happy reunions. Where can folks go online to contribute and look in on your adventures?
Sure. You can go to www.journey4renewal.org is our website. So you can learn more about us and our trip, our route, and also where to donate to Wilderness Canoe Base.
Great. That's journey4renewal.org. We know all about matches and making it.
So I'm sure you do.
The best of luck to you there.
Thank you.
Home stretch. And what a relief, you made it. Now, what's next? Inevitable question, right? Now that you've got this fellowship.
Yeah. We're not quite sure. This is Tessa again. And I think, yeah, we're going to part ways for a little bit. It's nice to have some time. We're, you know, been kind of going our separate ways since we arrived back, and we'll come back together for the 60th anniversary next weekend, which will be a nice time to be together again as a group. But then kind of we'll return to our own lives. But I think that that bond is something that will never be changed. And I would not be surprised if there's at least some sort of reunion trip at some point, but probably not that long.
All right, we heard it there. We'll stick you to it, and then you'll have to come back and tell us about it.
Of course.
Sounds really good, Tessa. Thanks. Steph, anything you'd like to add last minute, funniest moment? What had you laughing the hardest? Sorry to put you right on the spot like that. Or worst moment. That's what we're going for here, like best or worst.
Well, the funniest thing that I can think of off the top of my head was when we were on the God's River, and the not funny part of this is that we recognized campsites and portages by the amount of trash that we found. It was everywhere, and so we pulled up to our campsite, and the first thing we did was just gather up all the trash and put it in an empty trash bag that was already at the campsite, and then put it off to the side. And meanwhile, Avery, the dog, is rustling in the bushes, and Tessa doesn't know what she's getting into, so she calls Avery out, and Avery pops out of the bushes and has a Ziploc bag stuck around her neck. Ooh. That she had somehow chewed through the middle of and
oh my gosh.
Just popped out with that around her neck, and it was, we all just fell over laughing. It was
She acted
hilarious
like there
sight.
Was nothing Yeah. wrong, and that she had done nothing wrong, and so she was just happy as can be, like, I wasn't doing anything, and just looked
and the
ridiculous.
Evidence was all around her neck.
Yeah, yep. We have a wonderful picture of it as well. We can post
it's
it.
Incredible.
The Ziploc necklace, huh? Well, that's too bad about folks, mm-hmm. campers, mm-hmm. not respecting the ethic, the leave no trace ethic. I know. I run a campground. We got the same problem. So, word up, pick it up, pack it out.
Mm-hmm.
But great job, gals. Congratulations on the Journey for Renewal. Folks, check it out online, journey4renewal.org. Tessa, Steph, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.